Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tom Duggan with the 10:50 Sports Special. We're on the air at the same time every night, Monday through Friday. I hope you'll be with us as often as you can. By the way, in this opening, why, Johnny Earp is back working with me again, and naturally, he tries immediately to louse me up, and he has 10:15 Sports Special down here when it's actually 10:50. Larry Watson won his fight tonight up at Rainbow Arena against John Holman on the seat of his trousers. About 2 seconds before the bell ended in the 10th round and the fight, Holman dropped Watson to the canvas. The bell rang and saved Watson. Watson apparently just ran out of gas. He was spotting Holman 21.5 pounds and threw three times as many punches. Through the 8th and 9th rounds, he started to look weary, and when the knockdown came in the 10th round, he looked as though he went down as much from exhaustion as from Holman's punch. The fight got away fast with Holman on the canvas for a 9-count midway through the 1st round. Watson couldn't finish the big fellow, but he certainly punched him around till his arms just got too heavy to lift. The referee scored at 51-49 for Watson. One judge had a 55-45, and the other judge had a 52-48 for a unanimous decision in favor of Watson, but with Watson finishing on the canvas. Those two guys will undoubtedly be rematched at the earliest possible opportunity if I know Irv Schoenwald. Well, that light heavyweight championship fight between champion Joey Maxim and Sugar Ray Robinson has been postponed till Wednesday night because of rain. The fight couldn't be held tomorrow night because it would compete with a night baseball game over at the Polo Grounds. So the postponement places the International Boxing Club in direct competition with itself. The Maxim-Robinson fight is scheduled for theater television Wednesday night, and the Vijar-Davy fight is scheduled for home television. And if the theaters wind up half empty around the country, and if the sponsor's product takes a sales nosedive across the country, both the theaters and the sponsor can think lovingly of the International Boxing Club. Oh, by the way, if any of you do go to the theater for the fight Wednesday night, actually watch the commentation if you get a chance to hear it. The Turpin Robinson fight in the theaters was so hectic, all you could hear was a tremendous clamor in the theater itself. And the commentation is important, even if the IBC and Steve Ellis don't think so. Well, the Washington Senators have become the 5th team to bounce into the American League pennant race. And actually, 2 other teams are not yet out of hailing distance of the league-leading New York Yankees. The Senators served notice today they'd have to be reckoned with as they took the first game of a 3-game series with our Chicago White Sox, 6-4 out at Comiskey Park. The Senators thus have made it 6 wins in their last 8 starts. The 5th-place Senators now trail the Yankees by 4.5 games. Right-hander Frank Shea got the win, although he needed help from Joe Haynes in the 7th. Harold Brown, the White Sox starter, took the loss. Bill Kennedy followed him in the 5th, and Harry Dorish worked in the 9th. The Boston Red Sox, by the way, beat the Detroit Tigers 12-6 in the only other daytime action in either league. The Red Sox moved into 2nd place, and our White Sox and the idle Cleveland Indians are tied for 3rd place. There's one night game in the American League, and it's going on down at St. Louis, and the New York Yankees are trailing the St. Louis Browns by a score of 5-4. Let's see, there's only one action in the National League tonight. Rain has washed out all the other games. At the end of 6 innings of play, in the top of the 7th, it's Pittsburgh 3, Boston 4. A 3-time Purple Heart winner, Ted Kroll of New Hartford, New York, who learned about pressure on Anzio Beach, scored another upset today when he eliminated Kerry Middlecoff in the 38th hole in the PGA Championship at Louisville, Kentucky. Kroll's win moved him into tomorrow's 36-hole semifinals against Jim Turnessa. Chick Harbert and Bob Hamilton will play in the other semifinal round. Earlier in the tournament, Kroll upset Lloyd Mangrum. Kroll and Middlecoff actually fought their way through today's 36-hole quarterfinals on even terms, with Kroll going ahead 8 times only to have Middlecoff tie it up. Middlecoff was eliminated on a 38th green, 1 up. Turnessa got into the semifinals by beating Clarence Doser 2-1. Chick Harbert bounced Freddie Haas Jr. 2-1, and Bob Hamilton beat Frank Champ by the same score, 2-1. Oh, by the way, speaking of Chick Harbert, I was talking with Dutch Harrison about him last Saturday night, and Harrison says that if there's ever a course was made for a golfer, why, this course down at Louisville, Kentucky is made for Chick Harbert, and he personally picks Harbert to win it. Well, here at nearby Aurora, Illinois, the 18-year-old state and women's Western Junior champion, Virginia Dehenny, I believe it is, or Dennehy of Lake Forest, today shot at 83 to win medalist honors in the annual Women's State Amateur Golf Tournament. All scores went skyward as the field aimed for 32 qualifying spots in a heavy downpour. Women's par for the course is 74. Well, now then, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for tonight's interview, and we have a man here who needs a top to a grandstand. He's Ray Bennigsen, and he's one of the owners of Fairmont Racetrack down in East St. Louis, Illinois, and Ray's been having his troubles lately, but you still look healthy, Ray.
Oh, I feel fine, Tom.
Welcome to Chicago, and I'm sorry about the top of your grandstand.
Well, it's one of those things.
What happened?
Well, we had a junior tornado down there 2 weeks ago Monday night, and it picked out the grandstand, got under the roof, and lifted it off and dropped it on the mutual department.
And, of course, that naturally closed the track.
Well, there's not much use being open without a mutual department.
Well, when are you going to reopen?
We open this coming Friday night. We've got all the work about done. We'll clean up Wednesday.
Well, as I understand it, the Illinois Racing Board is extending your dates to make up for...
They've been very kind to us. We'll still have 60 nights of racing.
And that's the main point that we want to get around to. How about this night racing for saddle horses?
Well, I think the public is taking to it very well down there. And I don't think you'll see it on a major racetrack until it's forced by desperation, needing business.
You mean that with everybody getting along so famously now with daytime racing?
That's right. I think that racing is very prosperous at the moment, and until it does a nosedive, I don't think the horsemen, or the better-class horsemen, would want night racing. It's a tough job.
Well, how about your races down there? Are they? Do you get all your cards filled without any trouble?
We don't have any trouble. There's enough of that class of horse. We run, as you know, what would be considered a minor league racetrack. I mean by that, our minimum purses are $1,000. We give away about anywhere between $10,000 and $12,000 a night, which naturally doesn't come close to what they give away in the Chicago area.
Now, how about lighting a mile track such as Fairmont? Does it present quite a few problems?
Well, no. We have a lighting plant at Fairmont that's comparable to the type of lighting that's used at the baseball parks. In other words, it's not hooded lamps as you see at a dog track or some of the harness tracks. It's an actual flood lighting system. And we have no trouble. You can see our horses at both of the far turns on a full-mile track.
Now, well, how about actually the racing of well, doesn't it seem to throw the horsemen and everybody else off kilter going at night?
Well, it doesn't affect the horses at all, Tom. It makes hard work for the horseman and the men who work for him. He has to employ a larger staff because he's working people until about 1 or 1:30 in the morning, and then they go through the morning routine the same as they do with day racing.
You had some trouble with the HBPA down there, too, didn't you?
Well, we started to have the same trouble they had around Chicago. There were certain demands made, but we met down there and came to a very amiable settlement.
And, well, actually, was it an increase that you gave, percentage-wise?
Well, that's right. We, to give you some idea, we started night runners in Collinsville, or East St. Louis, as you call it, in 1950, and we gave away $700 minimums and about $7,000 a night. In 1951, we gave away about $9,000 a night. And this year, in 1952, we're heading toward about $11,000 a night. So the game is growing.
Ray, you're still connected with Sportsman's Park.
Yes, I'm secretary and a director at Sportsman's Park.
Now, how about the possibility of you re-entering the sports picture here in the Chicago area, say, with a Major League football team?
Well, I'm looking, Tom. There's nothing in the offing.
And, well, actually, is there anything else? How about this Bert Bell thing as football commissioner? You were being rumored hot and heavy as the next commissioner of National League Football.
I think that has to stay in the rumor stage.
Well, it'd certainly be a nice way for a rumor to come out as a climax. I don't think you have so much as one enemy in football. You're what you might call universally popular. Hi, heck, even I like you.
Well, that's
great. That's sort of a strange thing. Ray goes around telling a story once in a while that the only thing that keeps me from getting monotonous in this town is the fact that I like him, and I guess there's a little bit something to that. But anyway, Ray, I'd like to see you get started with a Major League Ball Club here in town once again. Is there any possibility of your expanding into other sports?
I don't believe so. I'm concentrating on racing now, and as a matter of fact, I'm looking for other racing connections.
How about your Hillison-Etten printing connection?
Well, I still am engaged in the printing business. I'm with Hillison and Etten Company on Federal Street here in Chicago and give quite a bit of time to the printing business.
Christmas cards and things like that,
well,
huh?
A little beyond that.
Well, Ray, then you start next Friday down there. Now, how about the horsemen during all this period? Did a lot of them ship out?
No, we were very fortunate. We only lost about 30 horses in that period. You see, we would have had a layoff from the 5th of July to the 25th under our original schedule of dates.
I see.
We always ran a split meeting.
Uh-huh.
So this way, we'll reopen to Friday night, June 27th, and run straight through Labor Day.
How large is this, the population area where you draw your business from?
Well, there's a million people in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And we also draw from Collinsville, Edwardsville, East St. Louis, Belleville, Granite City, all those small towns on the Illinois side.
Well, all I can say to you is, in parting, is hang on to the top of your grandstand.
We'll keep her down this time, Tom.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ray Bennigsen, one of the owners of Fairmont Racetrack, and, of course, an important poor person in the Chicago sports picture over many, many years. My name is Tom Duggan. This has been the 1050 Sports Special, and I guess that's about all we have time for. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.